dcff.org. That's dcff.org.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going to walk the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no.
What'd I do?
The jury of your peers having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on, come on!
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find, just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. We come to you every Tuesday at the same time on the same station, WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. We're joined every week by my beautiful wife, Mertine, and of course, our distinguished co-host, Nikisha Taifa, an attorney extraordinaire. Thank you all for tuning in to Crossroads. And as usual, we open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Hey, the grapevine it is. We got a special clip we'll show bring you this morning from President Ronald Reagan. Here's something that Ronald Reagan said that fits today's political climate. Okay, let's run with it.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us. We the people are the driver. The government is the car. And we decide where it should go and by what route and how fast. Almost all the world's constitutions are documents in which governments tell the people what their privileges are. Our constitution is a document in which we the people tell the government what it is allowed to do. We the people are free. And I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
And that was a word from our former president, Ronald Reagan, who's describing what's going on now in today's climate. Here we go. 2,005 prison guards won't be hired by New York again, as the governor said. More than 2,000 prison guards who were fired for participating in the illegal wildcat strike won't be able to get another job within the New York state system. There are consequences when people break the law, and it means you are not working in our state. And means you are not working in our state workforce ever, she said. I just want to affect change, positive change, in whatever form that may be, fired correction officers Jenny Stanford said. The strikers complained prison discipline reforms have led to a dramatic spike in assaults and correction officers. That's one reason recruiting has dropped, leading to a mandatory overtime, including 24-hour shifts. The strike lasted 22 days. It ended after the state and guards union struck a new deal that included the suspension of the Humane Alternative to Long-Term Solitary Confinement Act, or HALT, for 90 days. The deal also included a reduction of 24-hour mandatory overtime, among other provisions. More than 10,000 officers had returned to work, which is down from the approximately 13,500 who initially went on strike. Several thousand National Guard members are being used to shore up the staffing shortfall inside the New York prison system. Trump claims Biden's pardons of January 6th committee members are void, vacant, because they were allegedly signed with an auto pen. President Trump claimed late Sunday that preemptive pardons former President Joe Biden granted to members of the House Select Committee that investigated the January 6, 2021 assault on the U.S. Capitol are void and vacant because they were allegedly signed with an auto pen. In a post to Truth Social shared just after midnight, Mr. Trump claimed without evidence that Biden himself did not sign the pardons he issued to the members of the January 6th Select Committee, staff members and officers from Washington, D.C., Metropolitan Police Department and the U.S. Capitol Police. Biden signed a full and unconditional pardon for any offenses arising from the committee's activities on January 19th, one day before he left the White House. Others who received preemptive pardons were Dr. Anthony Fauci, retired General Mark Milley, and several Biden members. And we were just told that Dr. Anthony Fauci's picture has been removed from NIH, the National Institute of Health, and this DEA, that diversity thing is taking over. If black folks are catching it from the right and from the left, and they just fired a black general from the Pentagon, the chief of staff who took up Colin Powell's position that Colin had, their pictures have been removed from the Pentagon. So this climate now that we're in is very dangerous and devastating. I want to say to all of you, we all got to get involved. This is the grapevine. We all got to get involved. Thank you. Thank you. Our topic this morning is housing crisis for returnees. There's a crisis all over this country, and finding stable housing is one of the most significant challenges for people re-entering their communities after incarceration. In cities and across the country, housing issue can present unique hurdles and opportunities. Even with regulations in place to prevent discriminatory practices, most states allow landlords to screen for criminal records of potential tenants, with specific rules varying by state. This contributes to a homelessness rate for incarcerated people that is almost 10 times as high as the overall population. And joining us this morning is a good friend named Courtney Stewart. He's the director of the Reentry Network for Returning Citizens. And I've been knowing this Turkey for a while, and he's a good guy. And I want to say welcome this morning, Turkey, to my good friend, Courtney Stewart. Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning, Roach. Thank you for having me.
I see you smile when I say Turkey. You know you're my turkey.
Hey, I will be your turkey.
How you doing, any man?
Day, any day.
It's good morning to you.
Things are fair, Roach.
And I want to take my hat off to you, because Courtney is one of them gentlemen who's a returnee who came out, hit the ground running, and doing some phenomenal things. They got a program that's called the Reentry Network for Returning Citizens. And they've been out for a while, and they're doing some fantastic work. And we asked Courtney to come in because we're working on the same population in this housing crisis, especially with Muriel Bowser. The mayor, Bowser, has just ordered the removal, shut down and elimination of homeless shelters all across D.C. They just started down by the Kennedy Center. And they're taking these people's property, tents, et cetera. But where do the homeless go when they take their tents and leave them in the street? Because you've been working, Courtney, for years, man. You know what the problem is for homelessness, for our population who have been released from institutions. What's the crisis like, or is it a crisis from your point of view, for homelessness for returning citizens?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. The crisis, it's always been a crisis. And the reason why it's a crisis is because we keep walking by people as if, you know, they're not even there. So it doesn't matter whether it's homeless, returning citizens, or returning citizens. I mean, you know, the reentry population back to, you know, that is coming back to D.C. on a daily basis, I mean, there's reports out that show that a third of the population is either going to report to a shelter or they're going to report to the streets. You know,
you said a third of the population?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Exactly what I said, a third of the population. And, you know, we've done little about it. I mean, like, we really haven't done much about it. I mean, you know, you have organizations out here, I would suppose, that are doing what they can about it. But this is Washington, D.C. We can do a lot more. I mean, you know, we talk about a $1 billion cut to a $22 billion, payroll in the city, or budget, I'm sorry, in the city. I don't understand why we can't address this problem. Like, you have us, okay? We need to address this problem too, because ain't nobody coming to save us, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
We have to understand that the people who have, we have people who have resources, man, that can actually come up and do some things together to address the the reentry homeless population. Because it's only going to get worse. I mean, what happens with reentry, people come home, you know, they already are dealing with being incarcerated for long periods of time. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you can find a prison to put us in, but you cannot find housing to put us in when we come home. So, I mean, like, it's not, make it make sense. It doesn't make sense. So, and then when you look at the population, you're talking about displacement. It's not, you know, we call it displacement, but it's really moving from one place to another, because you still have not done anything about the problem. Made them move from Massachusetts Avenue, but then, you know, they in Georgetown. They moved to Northeast, you know, under the bridge. Yeah. So we haven't addressed it, the problem. And you said it, Roach. They are neighbors. If they on Massachusetts Avenue, it doesn't matter where they at, or K Street, they neighbors, man. And we have to approach it as they spent the night in that neighborhood. So, you know, let's look at them as neighbors and see how we can help our neighbors. That's the approach that we should be taking. We should be taking a community approach. You know,
there you go.
And you know, and the government should do its part, absolutely. You know, but I'm not from that mindset of over relying on the government. I believe that a lot of this stuff can be resolved. The community has a lot of power, you know, Reagan just said it. You just, did a quote on Reagan. So we have a lot of power. We just have to use it, and we have to come together collectively and, you know, and begin to deal with some of our own issues. And I'm all for it, you know, myself included. We had 50 units with an organization, and we had a 3-year contract, and so we were able to get housing for returning citizens, but that contract is up, you know. We did 3 years, and
the contract is ended. You can't get it renewed.
Well, that's an off-air conversation, Roach. Glad to have that with you. I'm gonna move on and see what else we can do. I mean, you know,
okay,
I mean,
okay.
We you know, they kept their end of the bargain and we kept ours, and you know, we got to 3 years, and we may figure something out moving forward, or we may not. But in the meantime, I'm gonna keep doing what I do, like, you know, and that is creating opportunities for returning citizens.
You know, it said at the top of the show, we mentioned that the homeless problem for returnees, men and women coming out of correctional facilities, is 10 times that as the average citizen in the street. And if we got a problem that's 10 times as worse as everybody's, and there's been no focus in terms of addressing this problem, and this problem has been lingering, and with the cut of federal agencies and then laying off over 100,000 to 200,000 people, this is going to impact the public safety, crime, et cetera. And we know, Courtney, from experience, that lack of housing leads to the potential for committing crimes. These are some of the root causes of what we're talking about, homelessness. There's no money, there's no jobs, there's very little concern. Let me say this. We got a reputation as D.C. inmates. When we get it locked up and they send us to the federal system because they closed down Lawton. So all D.C. prisoners are sent to the federal system. And we got a reputation in the federal bureau of prisons that D.C. blacks stick together. Even though a guy may be beefing with you in the street from southeast and northwest, when you go into the federal correctional system, all of the D.C. guys band together and they have to for their protection and keep them alive and safe. And that kind of unity is known nationally. All so you don't bother a D.C. guy because they stick together. If we could take that same stick togetherness and use it out here in the street and bring these guys together, we can eliminate and stop some of this. You said it, man, that the opportunity exists that if we come together and unite, we can make, we can increase public safety, we can reduce the crime, and we can make it safe for everybody to live. What's your take on that? Do you think that's true?
Oh, it's no question about it. And I can tell you what it is. It's called self-governing. I mean, like, we one of the best that ever did it.
What was she doing?
You know, in prison. You said it, folks, we have not done it out here in the community. And that's what we need to do. We need to bring that self-governing oversight that we use in prison. We need to bring that to our community. You know what I mean? And really hold
He's
each other
sister.
Accountable and hold each other responsible. I mean, like we're one of the best that ever did that. I was obviously incarcerated in the 80s, you know, and I wouldn't have survived. I wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for that DC, us self-governing one another. But we haven't been able to do that out here because we're still dealing with this crabs in the barrel syndrome, you know, and if one of us, have some success or look like we're having some success, man, you know, you still got people tugging at our legs. And we need to address that. Like, we just need to just come clean and get honest that, and pull our resources together. But I'm all for that. I'm all for us, by us, with us.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the only way to win.
You know, Courtney, in 2017, I wrote a letter, and I got it in front of me, and to the mayor's office about this homeless problem. I wrote several articles in the Washington Forum and other publications around the city about this homeless crisis. And the situation is that this letter we gave to the mayor's office was to erect or build or construct housing for returning citizens using containers off these 18-wheeler trucks. They are modular units. They're container units. There are a couple of container houses in D.C. up in by Catholic University and one on H Street Northeast. And these containers can be made into 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartments. And they can be constructed and erected within 90 days or less. It won't take a year, 2 years to build these houses. We got access to these properties, but we got access to these facilities, these containers. These containers, they have thousands of shipping containers that can be converted to emergency affordable housing. And they don't cost maybe $8,000 or $10,000 or less per unit. Not $100,000 to $200,000 per house. We're talking about $8,000 to $10,000 per unit. We can construct a 25 or 30 bed unit or apartment complex just using containers. But we got 21 dog parks in the city. They see the need for dogs to have a recreational area. What about human beings having a place to sleep and to eat? And it's there. And if they can take monies for $500 million again for keep a Capital One Arena in the city, and we don't spend that kind of money to take human beings off the street. You got kids out there, little babies, families, whole communities are on the street, and we got the resources, the richest country in the world, and we have 530,000 people who are below or at the homeless. I'm sorry, it's 5 million and 30 homeless people in this street, and we can't provide shelter for those folk, and we're talking about public safety. You wrote an article last year, or you was included in this article, about you can transform public safety in D.C. by prioritizing prevention over punishment. What do you mean that, by prioritizing prevention over punishment? What do you mean by that, Courtney?
Well, what I mean by that, Roach, we you know, and let me comment on your idea, because the thing about us coming up with ideas, man, you know, nobody wants, you know, it reminds me of the, racism, you know what I mean? I mean, like, you know, a black man come up with an idea, but nobody want to hear about it. You know what I mean? We can't get that support. But as soon as a white man comes up with the same exact idea, you know, they can get a listening ear. They can get, you know, the support they need. So that hasn't changed. You know, I've been in the reentry space ever since I've been home. I came home in 85. I started in getting involved in reentry in 89. 1989. So I've been doing this ever since 1989. And it's like, you know, that I forget the name of that game where you hit the head when it comes, every time it pop up, you know, that hammer hits you in the head. And that's how it's been.
Yeah.
That's how it's been me running my organization in the District of Columbia, man. Like, you know, we've barely been at, but I've always came up with great ideas. Because I'm a volunteer. I've done it with resources and I've done it without resources. You know what I mean? Because I care, regardless. It doesn't matter, you know. But my ideas fall on deaf ears, you know, or somebody else take my idea and run with it, you know what I mean? Which is fine, you know, because it lead us to right where we at today, man. Zero, nothing, you know. What I meant by that statement, you know, I simply mean we failing at the public safety experiment because we're forgetting the humanity that's in this, that's involved in. You know, nothing can replace a human being. I don't care what you can come up with, AI, CI, and some more eyes. It cannot replace us. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And we have to remember that we have to look to one another, man, to solve a lot of our issues. We've always done it. Ever since man first crushed grapes, yeah. We have listened to one another and we've been able to resolve whatever issue that came up with us, you know. Right now, when you look at those numbers that you mentioned, reentry, man, is you know, went into a public health issue. It's more of a public health issue because this is when you come home. That 33% that end up homeless, homelessness lead to drug addiction. Homelessness lead to alcoholism. Homelessness lead to vagrancy. Homelessness leads to all kinds of things. Yeah. Okay, crime,
petty theft.
That's what it leads to, because what happens is your conditioning gets worse and worse and worse.
You go from
your belongings on the street to you not having no shoes on your feet, to you pushing a cart down the street, to you talking to yourself, to you attacking people or walking down the street undressed with no clothes on. Because it gets worse and worse and worse. And we keep on acting like the public is not safe. No, we're not safe. We are the ones that are not safe because we continue to live in a society, man, that doesn't want to understand what happens in the process of coming home from prison and even being in prison for long periods of time. Coming
That's right.
back to a community that, for the most part, you have been out of sight, out of mind. Ain't nobody thought about you for the last 20 years that you was locked up. Only your family, the community, they forgot about you.
Yes, man. Yes.
So we just got to get honest, man, and at the not just get honest, but we also got to take action too. It has to. It has to be, you know, two things in one. So, and I'm prepared and ready to do that at all costs.
Go ahead, Nikichi. We got our distinguished co-host sitting right there. Look, well, you look pretty this morning. Where are you going, Nikichi?
No, I just curled up my hair. My locks. Anyway, so really, shout out to Brother Courtney Stewart, Reentry Network, for returning our citizens. We're talking about a brother who has been out there on the front lines ever since I met you. I think I met you around in 2002 or something along those lines. And, you know, I've just always just looked in admiration in terms of the impact that you have made and that you are making in this community. And you're right when you said, you know, it's really up to us to do what we need to be doing, because we can't rely on stuff no more, y'all. We're in a new reality up here. And that the work that you're doing on the ground is really essential in terms of all that. So, if I may, I just want to say, Courtney, if you could just say just a little bit more about just some, and I know we're talking about housing, but some of the other things that the Reentry Network for Returning Citizens is about and has been doing all this time ever since you successfully made that transition from inside the system to doing all the great work you're doing on the outside.
Thank you. Yeah, and Keisha, you need to know I have the highest respect for you as well. your work is known to all of us, and we appreciate it. But listen, the National Reentry Network, you know, for me, it's like what I did in my own life. It's a reflection of how I was able to change my life and be committed and. You know, it started with the way I thought, you know, so that's, we address the way we think, you know, and then it ends with the way I behave. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. We address the thinking because we want to change that. You know, most of the stuff you know, we come from word of mouth. We come from a word of mouth community. Word of mouth ain't going to do much for you. Okay. You got to go and get an education for real. Okay. You can't just get an education through reading the newspaper every day. Right. So we got to change the thinking and we got to change the behavior, you know, the way that we behave, the way that we behave with each other, the way that we behave with our neighbors, and so forth and so on. And so that's what the National Reentry Network, those are, and then we advocate. That's the number one thing we do. We feel like most of what we need, we're going to have to fight for. Simple as that. I mean, like, and then we come up with our own resources. You know what I mean? You know, I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to be walking around looking, you know, looking a certain way, and I'm not even supporting my own people. You know, I'm not going to support Dolce and Gabbana, and I'm not even supporting my own people. No. Right. You know what I mean? I'm going to support my people. Just like I took care of my kids, I'm going to take care of my people. Simple as that. And so, and it's a lesson. I mean, you know, I've been, and it's a sacrifice. I've made the sacrifice too. So we got a mentoring program. You know, and most of the programs we're doing now, we're not even doing that good with, you know, we have a job readiness program that we've had over almost 10 years, you know, and we were doing really good with the job readiness program, but that program has slowed down a lot. Our peer navigator program, I mean, we struggling to get that program off the ground, you know, and these are paid programs, okay? Mm-hmm. These are paid programs. So one thing about me, I'm going to keep it real, you know. I'm going to keep it real because it doesn't matter whether I'm working with one person or 1,000 people, you know what I mean? I'm going to be of service. I'm going to continue and always be of service. In Keechee, we have a 1-800 number that's around the country, you know, where you can call when you are released from prison. You know, and if you release in a state that you don't live in, then we'll help you get to your home, to where you live, you know. And we have a community-led preventive model. Now, this is what I really believe in. This is what I'm really all about. And this is a model where we are in the community, not the, you know, we can't be everywhere all the time, but we take a strip like Minnesota Avenue or U Street or H Street, you know, and we work that strip. And we figure out who's the business people, who are the clergy, who are the stakeholders. Once we find that out, we let them know that, you know, we don't even let them know. We ask for permission, you know, because I'm not one of these people that's going to stick a fly on your car. No, I want to meet and greet you. And I know in Keechee, you like that too. I want to meet the person. Like, I want to talk to the person, right? I don't need to be sticking no fly on your car. I ain't never met you. That's intrusive. We got to, you know, I'm more respectful. I want to have permission to come in your neighborhood and show some kind of prevention. And I think prevention starts with meet and greet, you know, talking to people and not ignoring people, you know. And then after that, you have to have an exchange. You have to, you know, tell them a little bit about you and you find out a little bit about them. And then, you know, and then you can begin the process of prevention. And that's like showing up. That's all it is. You're showing up a couple of days out of the week and you're checking in on people and finding out how they're doing. They see you. It's just like the rose in the concrete. It's no different, like, you know, or the broken window theory, you know. You fix enough windows, you know, the whole neighborhood start, you know, cleaning itself up. So that those are just a few of the things that we, and, you know, we down at the Wilson Building, we do our due diligence with the law. So, you know, we've been involved with the passing of some of the laws as they relate to returning citizens as well.
Okay.
Fantastic. Well, at this time, we'd like to let you know you're listening to WPFW-FM, your station for jazz and justice, 89.3 FM Pacifica Radio. The call-in number is 202-588-0893. If you'd like to speak with Nkechi, Courtney Stewart, or Roach, that is the number, 202-588-0893.
If you want to call in, you can call in. We have another guest on, Vivian Mercer. You want to unmute Vivian and come on? Are you joining this conversation, Miss Mercer?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm surprised. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm okay for the most part.
You. We see you on the screen. You joining our conversation this morning?
Well, I wasn't planning to. Well, I don't know what to say, but
okay. All right, we're glad to have you.
Thank you.
I just saw your name on the bottom of the screen, Courtney. You said about we need to prioritize prevention over punishment, and that's what it seems like is happening all over the country. It's punishment. It's lock them up. Get them out of the way. Like what's happening in D.C. right now, when the President Trump ordered the mayor, Bowser, to remove the encampments, homeless encampments, especially downtown close to the White House, and they're doing it. And again, they're taking these people's tents, properties, clothes, and throwing them away. Now they're being forced to move to where? They don't have change of clothes now. And again, this is the same attitude. They don't want to see. They don't want to see you to see this blight or this homeless problem on the street. So they're just removing them. And this is only compounding the problem. And as we said before, you said it, Courtney. We've been used to hard times like this before. We know how rotten and dirty they play. We know about the jiggy boogie and all these laws, and it's what they say and what they do is two different things. And it's up to us to make it better. Nowhere in the history of this country, we spend in excess of several trillion dollars. The black community spend in excess of several trillion dollars. We shouldn't have a black person homeless in this country. If we can organize, mobilize, and work with our family, our people in the community to reduce this. The most richest country in the world, and we got over 53 million people at the living at the poverty line or below, 53 million. They get a job, and when they get paid, they said, my take-home pay won't take me home. You know what I mean? And We can make a difference. You got Flavor Flav, you got Michael Jordan, Michael John, Irvin Jones. All these guys are multi-millionaires, man. We need to look back and help those folk who are less fortunate. They don't need to. They don't want to be millionaires. They just want a place to stay that's safe, rat-free, no rodents. The heat work, the air conditioning work. We got a problem right now. We're talking about returning citizens, but one of my big, good friends, Peter Green, he always used to push the seniors. Our seniors, man, are catching holy, holy hell. With these prices going up through the ceiling, the crime rate is going to go up, homelessness is going up, and who's going to pay for this? You either pay on the front end or you pay on the back. I mean, you lock them up, it's going to cost over $16,000 to $35,000 a year, depending on what institution you're in. $15,000 to $35,000 to keep this person incarcerated. It won't take that much to keep them finding my house. To make sure they got a place to stay. And you said something else. According, mental illness is a close friend of homelessness. Because you say walking down the street, talking to yourself, you're feeling isolated, alone, discarded. Nobody wants you. And you begin to have psychological and mental issues. This is a public safety problem that's only going to exasperate or get bigger as time go on. What do you say, Nikichi and Courtney? What can the people do who's listening to our show? What can they do to bring this tension? Because we done wrote articles. We done met with the city council chairman 3 weeks ago. I done met with Robert White. We done met with everybody. And they all tell you, I met with Mendelson 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And I called three times and ain't got a return call yet, man. And we explained, we don't want no juggy boogie. If you can't do something, say it. But this is our city. We live here. We want to make sure that it's safe for everybody. It ain't about returning citizens or non-citizens. It's about human beings living the way they should live and supposed to live. And we helping them. If they can give billions for foreign aid all around the world, Ukraine got over 20 or 30 billion. If you put $5 billion in the black community, I bet you will see the crime rate go down.
So, Roach, before we go to the caller and Courtney response, you know, Courtney was talking about prevention and how we have this slippery slope that if we don't help people and deal with things, it leads to bigger and bigger problems. Well, addiction is one of those problems and one of those issues. And we have a brother in our community, Brother Dr. Kokai Patterson, who has been on the front lines of helping to treat addiction, been on the front lines with the acupuncture detox collective and seeking to provide remedies so that folk don't end up homeless on there in the streets. And he's facing challenges, you know, right here, right now. So I just want to just say, if we can just bring prayers of listening, WPFW community, just bring prayers of healing to our brother, Heal the Healer, the brother who was responsible every time a political prisoner got out of prison, whether it was Dr. Mutulu Shakur, whether it was Veronica Bowers, Sundiata Akoli, our dear brother Bilal Suni Ali. Dr. Kokai was always there to help treat them, and he's facing challenges now. So I just want to give the phone number for anybody who wants to help out. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs prayers and blessings. And Dr. Kokai Patterson leads that now. We call him the Hood Doctor. The Hood
Yes,
Doctor.
Yes.
And so you can reach out to ADS Collective member Jasmine Black. Text her. You can text her at 202-302-4747. That's 202-302-4747 to find out what you can do. And I know there's an event on March 21st from 6 to 9 at the Brooklyn Art Space. It's just helping, praying, providing support and all for Dr. Patterson. But again, more information at 202-302-4747. So that's one thing that we can do to help stop all this madness.
I'm glad you said that, Ganesh, because that's what we're talking about. We got to reach back and help each other. He's been known as the Hood Doctor, doing chiropractors all over the city. Anytime you call him, he comes. He don't ask for nothing, and all they do is give. So she just gave you the number. He needs your support and help. You can call him, talk to whatever you can do to help Brother Kakao Patterson. He's helped our community and still helping the community even while he's sick. So, folks, we got to reach out and help those who help us. And again, we're talking about this same thing of us coming together, working together to help each other. Because believe this, the nursing homes is going to shut down. We are what we call the collateral consequences. All the big cuts and stuff is happening right now. The little pieces is beginning to filter down how it's going to impact the lower average Joe Blow on the street. And, brother, they talking about cutting food stamps, Medicare, Medicaid. We are in serious, serious trouble. So we know how things have been. We've already been at the bottom of the deck and get thrown the scraps. It ain't nothing new to us. So we know how to make ourselves adjust and deal with this. And it's going to make us get together. In spite of Trump, we can come together and make our community safe and help each other. Because now is the time. We got to call on. Yes. We'll take our first caller. You're on the air, please. Question or comment? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Question or comment?
I'm going to commend PFW for your final. This is Mama Joanne. Okay, Courtney, I commend you for all you're doing because the organizations that you talked about, I was in the movement for a long time from Courtney Street back in the day. I'm still in the movement. I'm an elder. But what else support? You have given a lot of support. There is support for the elders. But I'm myself, at the age I am, I need the support from our people. And the movement don't stop with a whole lot of talk. And I commend you. You did a lot. You're doing a lot. And I thank God that PFW is still reaching the community. But I just got a phone, and I'm in a shape. I don't drive anymore. I'm an elder, and I'm cry out for help. And we together, us, the community, because I come back from the Afro doing Mama Joe. That's where I got my name. The Afro was right there on the street off the 14th, and the printing office, and the bank is still there. And then Miss Ali, before she was Mama Ali, she was Mama Ali back in the day from the printing office right upstairs over the Afro building. So, you're doing a lot.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama Joanne. We'll take our next caller.
You're on the air. Question or comment?
Next caller.
Okay, next. Next. We're in a holding pattern.
Well, I have a question, Mr. Brown, while you're waiting for those people.
Yes.
I wanted to know more about the IZ program, the Inclusionary Zoning Affordable Housing Program under DHCD. How does that work?
You want to handle that, Courtney?
Okay.
I don't have enough information to handle that. So
I'm not familiar with that.
I know a little bit about the Inclusionary Zoning, but... I'm focused on this topic, so I haven't, you know.
Okay. Okay.
They conduct random lotteries for people to win units for affordable housing. So, I just wanted to know how would that help in returning citizens? Do you have to actually have a place to live in order to, be qualified for the IZ inclusionary units?
You know, that's a good program. I heard about it, but there's a shortage of housing, affordable housing, safe housing in communities as such. There's very little that we are aware of about that particular piece. Maybe you can call back and we'll talk about that IZ a little later. All but right now, we got a couple more callers and we'll take the next caller. Thanks for that question, Vivian. We'll take the next caller, please. Question or comment? You're on air.
Hey, Papa Roach, this is Ian Simpson here.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Merry Christmas, Jive Turkey. Hey, Mama Martine.
Hey.
You hear that, Courtney?
Hey, I just want to commit. Hey, first of all, Papa Roach, thank you for what you're doing, bringing information to the people, because information is power. And the brother that you just had on the air, I want you to please, if you could, please give him my contact information, because I would want to help him assist with his reentry program for the veterans. And what I would like to suggest is that for the reentry, it starts behind the wall. It would better seamless process if it started behind the wall, because all you're doing is playing spades and doing push-ups. Hey, let's get this paperwork done while you're sitting down. So when you come home, you already transition smoothly into the, any program that you're recommended for, any program and resources that you need.
Okay, beautiful. Thanks a lot for calling in, and we appreciate you.
We'll make sure Courtney gets your information.
We'll pass it on. Next caller, please, question or comment. Hello. You're on the air, question or comment. Hello.
Well, one thing we know is that our ancestors suffered greater than we have, and they survived. And so it's in us to be, to produce. We've done it with our resources. So we definitely will continue to do what we have to do.
Yeah, we've been in circumstances worse than this, man. And we know how dirty and how rotten the system is. So I mean, when it comes to black and brown folk. So this ain't nothing new to us. We just got to come together. Let's take the next caller, please, because the phones are jumping off the hook. Next caller, please. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, come on. You're on the air. Come on with your question. We'll take the next caller. Hello, we're on air.
Good morning. There you go.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning, family. Listen, thanks for another great show. As always, you all do the work. I was calling about the good doctor, Brother Kakaya, and the number that Nikichi gave for contact is the machine is full and there's no answer. And I was calling to make sure I had the right number. 202-302.
The number that's on the flyer is 202-302-4747. And it says text only. So text it. It says text only.
Gotcha.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yes. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you, partner.
Thank you.
Next caller, question or comment? Hello? You're on the air. Question or comment, please? Hello.
You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, come on with it.
I'm just trying to wonder, how do we get these things funded? I know we can't ask for funding on WPFW, but is there a way we get this funded, like a community supported agriculture where we invest in shares as DC people, or as maybe getting that money through the healthcare system or through the corrupt affordable housing? Maybe we can actually get that into a trust or something like that, if any of that's possible. I'm just worried about funding for these beautiful programs that you air on the broadcast. Thank you so much for your time. I'm sorry to hold it up.
It's a great question.
Go ahead, Courtney. You want to try this?
Well, I think, yeah, that is a great question. I think that we need to do a public-private partnership. I mean, you know, we need to come up with our own resources, go to a bank. Let's see if we can get a match, and then you know, the government chip in, and I think that's the way to do it. You know, I mean, because we're in a state of emergency, of emergency right now. So you know, we don't need legislation, and we can't wait on laws and all of that. We need the
immediate help, immediate assistance.
We need to do something right away.
Yeah.
I wanted to, if you didn't mind, Roach, I wanted to comment on the punishment question that you asked earlier, because punishment, that experiment, man, has not worked, okay?
Right.
I mean, we've had years and years. I mean, the prison industrial complex is over 200 years old, man. Like, you know, so punishment ain't working. I mean, my kids let me know that right away, man. You can punish me all day long. I need a little more creativity. That's what my kids wanted. They, you know, and so then that's what we need. I mean, most of the people that are incarcerated for nonviolent offenses.
Right.
I mean, like more than half, way more than half is incarcerated for nonviolent offenses. So we should be more creative. like, you know, with those individuals. But we shouldn't waste. We got all this human waste, and it's all, you know, and most of it is black people. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, we could, you know, the community could step up and really address this issue, you know, and then we can set the table, put it that way. And then we can invite the government and all these other entities that would like to support us, you know. But I feel like we should be the ones setting this table, you know.
Okay.
Because everything else has brought us to where we at right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's time for us to step up and do what we need to do. And you know, it you know, you got people calling themselves leaders in the community. Well, you got to put your money where your mouth is, man. When you're a leader, you know, you can't keep leading. The lady just said, talk is cheap, man. We keep talking and talking and talking. And when
I'm tired of it, man.
We at the mall somewhere. We at the go-go somewhere. We not taking action. We not showing up, you know, for this cause. And we need to show up for this cause. This is the number one issue with returning citizens. Housing is the number one issue.
Yes.
What is your telephone number, Courtney, if someone's out here who can assist or would like to speak with you further?
My number is 202-584-1000.
You know, and to our last caller who made that suggestion about how we need to come together and bring the other folks to help with resources, leave your number with the engineer and we'll contact you later and we can direct you to...
Well, okay, 202-584-1000 is Courtney's number. You can call him. Reach out to Courtney with great ideas like you have, sir.
And for the caller who made the call previously about the resources and how we can help, and that, leave your number with Mike, the engineer, and we'll contact you and direct you where you need to go to try to get some help or channel them resources. Give your number to Courtney, to Mike. Also, we got a few minutes to go before we leave. Nikisha, you got anything you want to say before we exit? Nikisha?
Yes. I just want to say that this is a time when we need to go back to doing stuff that we did back in the past, like right after the enslavement period. There were mutual aid societies that came to the aid of people. Mm-hmm. We pooled our resources, okay? We relied on ourselves, on self-determination, and I think it is going to be pertinent almost for our survival that we go back and do those things again, because we can't rely on government or we can't rely on other people, okay, and other people's interests. We need to do for self. We all know where that came from.
There you go. Right. There you go.
Make all of this stuff. You know, a reality, because, you know, Roger, you said, you know, all this is juju boogie going on out here and our survival.
Too much, right?
So yeah. Y'all should check out the Reentry Network, Returning Citizens, that Courtney has been moving and shaking up all this time. You know, I help people like Dr. Kokai Patterson, who's been involved with healing our communities. And let's just go on and do the darn thing.
There you go. We're at the end of our time. Now we're at the end of our time. I want to say thank you, Courtney Stewart from the Reentry Network for Returning Citizens. You've been on the front line for the last 30, 40 years, man. And folks, we bring on people who are on the front line, who are in the fight. They down there with the sleeves roll up, pants roll up, and they got boots on the ground and they doing the work. We don't bring on no jive turkeys on this show. We try not to. It may be a turkey slide by every now and then. You know what I mean? But we're real people. I want to say thanks to Courtney, to Nikisha, and to our callers. And please, we can make a difference. We can bring about this change. We ain't got to keep asking for it. Let's us come together, folk, and we can do it. We got trillions of dollars that the black community spend nationally. And that money can be redirected to some of it to help save some lives. And please, please, check on our seniors, man. Check on our elders. They are catching hell on top of hell. You know what I mean? And they ain't got nobody, nowhere to go, nobody to call. Check on your seniors. Make sure that they get something to eat or be there for them to make sure they got some kind of companionship. This is our community and our people.
And also, remember, a whole lot of you out here have what I call unnecessary money. Put that money to use. You hear Courtney Stewart, what better use to give him some donation? So a lot of us have unnecessary money. Please, okay, help us out.
Until next week, we'll see you again. And thank everybody for calling. This has been Roach Brown and Mertine and Nikichi and Mike Nasala, our engineer. And I guess it's been Courtney Stewart, a good friend, a good soldier, and he's been out there for over 30 years. Keep on keeping on, Courtney. Whatever you help you get, we hope this show would help spread your word and get you some of the support you need, because you're doing a fantastic job, man. And I want to thank you. And remember, Courtney, miss the count, will you? Now, keep missing the count, man. I don't want you to ever see you on the count no more, man. Okay, thank you. And you've been listening to Crossroads. Thank you. Remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
Hello, WPFW. Festival season is here, and on April 6, noon until 7:30 p.m., Words, Beats, and Life kicks it off with the Jazz and Blossoms Park Jam. Family-friendly activities, art activations, food truck vendors, and performances will all happen in Franklin Park. Details at wblinc.org/WBLFest.
Hello, I'm Dave Zirin, host of WPFW's The Collision, with an editorial. Mahmoud Khalil, a student at Columbia University and a U.S. permanent resident, has been illegally detained by ICE for organizing against the U.S.-supported genocide in Palestine. In detaining Khalil, the Trump administration, the State Department, and the Department of Homeland Security have made clear that they are more than willing to violate constitutionally protected rights to punish those who speak out against them and Israel's war on the people of Gaza. This is a deeply alarming development. It is a march towards authoritarianism. It is a blatant encroachment on our democracy, and it places all of us in peril, especially members of the most vulnerable and marginalized communities in our country. In the words of Angela Davis, if they come for me in the morning, they will come for you at night. Standing together as people of conscience and demanding Mahmoud Khalil's freedom, it is a stand against fascism, and it is a stand for our collective right to free speech and protest. I'm Dave Zirin. This has been a WPFW editorial.
Jazz lovers, the 15th annual Washington Women in Jazz Festival is back with a weekend of performances, workshops, and jam sessions at the Penn Arts Mansion in Washington, D.C. on March 29th and 30th. From interactive workshops to concerts and late-night jams, there's something for everyone. Details at WashingtonWomenInJazz.com. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hey, this is Alvin Nedab, your host of Music Memories, and my co-host,
Deborah Nedab.
And guess what, Deborah?
What?
We're moving.
We're moving?
That's right. We're moving from Mondays, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., to Saturdays, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., starting next Saturday, March 22nd. And Deborah, guess what?
What?
We're going to still continue to play the best old school music of all time. So we just want you to be there. 89.3.
Find peace and happiness amidst all the uncertainty around us. On March 20th, the International Day of Happiness, spiritual leader Gurudev Sri Sri Ravi Shankar will be in conversation with author Arthur Brooks at the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C. for Unlocking Happiness. Practical tools to cultivate joy backed by science and timeless wisdom will be shared, including a live guided meditation by Gurudev. Details at aolf.me/UHDC.
Do you love captivating stories about our planet and the people who protect it? The DC Environmental Film Festival returns to theaters throughout the metro area March 20th through the 29th. This year's lineup boasts over 50 programs featuring films from all over the world about issues from environmental justice to wildlife conservation and our oceans. Details at dceff.org. That's dceff.org.
How to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I